knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys.
Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a fiction caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan?
Jordan.
Quick question.
What up?
Have you ever been to an art gallery?
Yeah. Yeah. I would assume most people have been to art galleries.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't mean like an art gallery. I mean like
I went to one with you. Your girlfriend's an artist.
I know. No, I mean, God damn it. I'm trying to think of like the Getty Museum, like that kind of art gallery.
Yeah, I've probably
like
been to the Getty Museum itself. A lot of family in California.
Have you been to the Getty Museum?
I've done a lot of touristy shit in California.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of stuff that I don't remember the specifics of. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if I've been to the literal Getty.
Really?
Yeah, but I've been to like the Field Museum here in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been to the aquarium. That's sort of a museum of fish.
Is there any kind of particular artist that you appreciate? No, none.
No.
No, I don't like art at all.
Nope.
None of this Rembrandt bullshit.
I respect art, and I appreciate those who appreciate it, but I also don't understand it.
You don't understand
all.
It?
No, I
like
do not.
Like visual art, period?
Yes.
Like sculpting?
I can look at it and think, ah, that's cool, but that
okay.
is about the depth of my understanding of
okay,
it.
Okay,
there are things that pop my eyes, uh-huh. you know, and like intrigue me
yeah.
like, to look at. But I don't understand why. I've tried to have people explain things to me about aesthetics
yeah, yeah.
and stuff like that, but it is completely foreign to me. It's like they're speaking another language.
Really?
I have no idea. My brother has a lot of that. He's
yeah.
very into art and very very talented with creating of art, like mm-hmm. drawing and design, and also really enjoys art itself.
Yeah.
And I just have none of it. I'm just, it's, nah.
That's fascinating. Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. The end.
I don't know. I honestly I've thought about it over the course of my life and like I never was too into art
yeah.
as a younger person, but I tried to like take little courses on it here and there.
Mm-hmm. Dip your toe in there, see what's going on.
Nah,
nothing.
Right over the head.
That's crazy.
Why?
I don't
Why
know.
Do you shame me?
I'm not shaming you. It reminds me, somebody told me that, like, oh no, I don't really like music. And it just boggles my mind whenever, like, there's so many cool shit.
Some people aren't into music.
I know, I understand.
Let them be.
I don't understand
it's
not being
big
into
world.
Music. I don't understand it at all.
I go back and forth on it.
On music or
yeah,
understanding
music.
Not liking it?
I enjoy it in periods of my life, but I also really like the spoken word, like audiobooks and
yeah.
podcasts and stuff like that. So, you know, it's there are some people who just need music all the time
yeah.
and it's in their bones
yes.
and stuff. And,
I am aware.
And, like you, I
yes.
assume.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I'm sort of in the middle, and I assume there's some people who are even further to like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of beeps and boops.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a big
as
world.
As always, I'm on the extreme end of just about everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a big world.
And
I don't know too much about art, but I do know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I know quite a bit about the former and nothing about the latter.
And that's the podcast.
Indeed.
So, Jordan, today we got an interesting situation to go over, and we'll get into all of it. But before we do, we got to take a little moment to say thank you to some people who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first, Chitis, maybe? I think it might be a misspelling of Chris. But it's CHTIS.
Okay.
So thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you. Next, Bobby. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby. Next, Sharon. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon. Next, Scott. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Next, Jason. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. Next, Liz. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you, Liz. Next, Matthew. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Matthew.
Maddie, thank you. Next, Off Planet in the Falklands. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Off Planet in the Falklands.
Thank you so much. Next, and finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple people who signed up on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So first, Nathan W., thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And I listened to the entire back catalog, so I really should cough up. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
We got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Nathan M., or Nathan W., excuse
Ooh,
me.
Ooh, upside down W.
That's what happened.
Yeah,
I saw the piece of paper from a different angle. Thank you, Nathan W., and thank you, too. I listened to the entire back catalog, so I should cough up.
Yes, thank you very much.
We appreciate it. Yes. If you're out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I enjoyed the show, I'd like to support what these gents do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jordan, here's the situation that I find myself
What's
in.
That?
So, for our second episode this week, I felt a desire to get back in and discuss Alex's return to the studio after his trip to CPAC. I knew he had some hot takes about the coronavirus. Apparently, he's trying to lure Sebastian Gorka into a sad publicity stunt fight. And he's getting more and more comfortable these days bragging about literally murdering people.
That does seem...
I've seen reported around. Yeah. Great, he's up to that again.
Yep.
Cool.
There he is.
I wish that those headlines would say, again. But... You know, everyone learns anew at some point, and that's great.
Hey, as long as everybody's getting there.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you get there, you get there. Yeah. Alex Jones brags a lot about murder.
He does it a lot.
So Monday's show was 4 hours long and full of emotional trouble and also just awful right-wing content. The prospect of this Friday episode being another long, dense affair just didn't seem like it would be right in terms of being a steward of our audience's well-being. I did not feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And so what I decided to do was cover this past week's content of Alex's show on our episode for Monday. So on Monday, we'll be going over this past week and the chaos that's ensued on Alex's show. And today, I thought we could spend a little time doing something a little more fun and fancy-free. The tensions are high in the world, what with the growing public health situation, the Democratic primary, and countless other real-world stressors. So it seemed clear to me that if we're going to survive, we need something as removed from real-world stressors as possible. And just our luck, at the end of last week, Carrie Cassidy over at Project Camelot released her 12th interview.
Do not tell me it's the 12th interview.
With murderer slash space hero Mark Richards.
Yay!
And that means that even if we weren't in this sort of a position where the tensions are really high, we would still need to drop everything.
Absolutely.
And cover this interview.
Yeah.
To get everyone up to speed who haven't heard all of our old episodes about this, Mark Richards has been in prison since the 80s, having been convicted of orchestrating the murder of an associate of his. It's very complicated to get into briefly, but we've been over it a bunch, and Mark totally did that shit.
Yep.
Mark was also a little bit of a cult leader, and he'd enlisted young men in his work crew to be knights of his new Camelot, which would come into its ultimate form when they used a laser to isolate Marin County from the rest of the United States, at which point it would become Mark's kingdom.
Yes, they were surprisingly close to making that a reality.
I don't know if they were. Since going to prison, Mark has married a woman named Joanne, who runs the Earth Defense Headquarters. I'm unclear on exactly what they do, other than sell Mark's writing and books, and they book Joanne to speak at Space Weirdo conferences. Through Joanne, Mark has created an overly elaborate backstory aimed at building an absurdly heroic mythos for himself, as well as proving that he's innocent of the crime he's in jail for definitely committing.
He is not innocent.
As it turns out, he couldn't have been involved in the murder because he was off-planet doing space mission at the time. Case closed. Dude is innocent.
It does sound like he couldn't have done it.
At some point, Joanne met Carrie Cassidy, who runs a YouTube channel where people lie to her about space adventures. Carrie interviewed Joanne about Mark's heroics, and through this, Carrie ended up being welcomed to interview Mark in prison at Vacaville in person. From there, the rest is history. Carrie has interviewed Mark 12 times now, and the stories he tells her range from standard conspiracy shit to the most outrageously fun nonsense I've ever heard. His sentient spacecraft, Minerva, has a delightful personality.
Love it.
but will not fly with anyone but Mark because of loyalties. Speaking of loyalties, the noble raptor aliens are viciously loyal to Mark personally, yes, to the point where he once had an affair with their princess, the raptor princess.
That is true.
He knew JFK as a child. He's met aliens ranging from the mercantile dogs to the spider leadership to the archaeologist cats.
Didn't you know Winston Churchill, too? Or
probably.
No, the Dutchman knew Winston
the Dutchman. His dad,
yes,
yeah. Ellis, the
His
Dutchman.
His dad is the Dutchman, yes.
sad story. I can't even remember half the dumb shit he said that we've covered on this show, but most of it's really funny, like how raptor aliens were featured in Jurassic Park and the Walking with Dinosaurs show, and how raptors like to come to Earth to go antiquing.
Yeah,
it's it's amazing nonsense. Also, there's a 50-50 chance he's aware of us. Listeners have pointed out that in an early Mark Richards episode, we joked about how if he's listening, the way to subtly signal to us was to tell Carrie about squid or octopus aliens, which he did do in the 11th interview. Maybe the 10th, one of the more recent ones, he did bring up octopus aliens.
Okay, bad.
It's inconclusive to me, though, since there's a real good chance that octopus aliens were bound to show up at some point. But it could also be a wink, not clear. So, officially, if you're listening, Mark, next time, tell Carrie that the octopus aliens are controlled by a benevolent AI. It's important that they're benevolent because you would expect an octopus to be evil.
Yeah.
That seems random enough for me to be able to make a conclusive judgment that it is absolutely.
It is that or pick World Cup games.
And if we get this signal from you, we will start feeding you messages. No, we will not.
Yes, yeah. Okay,
absolutely not.
This needs to be a two-way street. We need to start talking to Carrie Cassidy through him.
No, as that would ruin the purity of the turf, as I've discussed. Same with me not calling Alex.
Yes.
Can't get involved.
Of course.
So, anyway, Carrie just went back to see Mark, and now it's time to see what there is to learn for about the real world from this professor/murderer.
Let's see what happens.
Here's the introduction that follows a very standard course.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. And
hi, Carrie.
I'm here today to talk about my latest interview with Captain Mark Richards of the Secret Space Program called Total Recall 12 Space Command.
So she always calls them Total Recall because she has to remember the interview and then repeat what he said later because they don't let her record it in prison because he's a murderer. But I'd not heard any of these that have a subtitle, Space Command.
I take it we're going to be talking exclusively about Space Command?
That's what you would think.
Fair enough.
It is not.
Fair enough.
So you might think like, I've seen shows where people interview murderers in prison.
Yeah,
Netflix, that happens.
Netflix has a whole goddamn genre of show about that.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Why won't they let Carrie do that?
Yeah, it does. It does seem like somebody is screwing with Carrie somewhere along the line.
I've never heard her explain exactly what the game she's playing is, but in this 12th interview, she explains how she is allowed to even talk to Mark.
Okay.
What I always do is go to Solano Prison, and I've been doing this interview now for around 5 years, and this is again the 12th interview. I am accompanied by his wife Joanne Richards, who helps to facilitate the interview. And because I am not doing this as an official journalist, because journalists are denied from interviewing him, and Oprah tried many years ago and was denied access.
According to...
So what I do is go in as a friend, and I am not allowed to take a recording device of any kind. I end up getting a tiny pencil, and I'm able to use that to do the interview. So
good, it's not a crayon this time, as it has been in other installments.
Yes.
But so what she's doing is she's defrauding the prison.
Yes. She is coming in there as a friend, taking interview notes and telling them she's not a journalist. Because then, if she was a journalist, she would be banned from entering the prison.
She would not be allowed to speak to Mark, probably. Yeah. There's some sort of a rule. I'm not sure what it is. I have no idea how I would get to the bottom of this or if I even believe it necessarily, because it's all just coming from Mark.
I don't believe Oprah tried to interview Mark.
No.
I don't believe that for a second.
Maybe. I mean, she talks to people like Dr. Oz.
Is there that Dr. much Phil. Of a difference? Yeah. Is there that much of a difference?
Yeah, I don't know what her standards are. Maybe she would want to do some special where she interviewed Mark. That is
I'm going to help you build that laser.
That's conceivably possible at some point.
Yes.
Oprah might have been wanting to do some kind of a story on him being a murderer.
Maybe.
Or something. I don't know.
Sure.
It seems unlikely that you'd want to interview him the same way that Carrie does. That does not seem likely. So yeah, cool. I hope that doesn't get back to the guards at Solano Prison. I hope that her saying that on her show doesn't end up resulting in her being barred from visiting Mark.
That would be a tragic irony. That would be a tragic irony. I don't believe her for a second.
No.
No.
I don't believe it either.
No.
So there's some stuff going on at Solano Prison in Vacaville that affected Mark's mood at the time of this interview.
Basically, that prison had been on lockdown for the 2 weeks prior because of a killing in the prison. And Mark was quite tired this time when I interviewed him. Apparently, all the things going on has been quite draining over those few weeks. And so that's the kind of thing that does go on. It's possible he was also under attack, but he did not reveal anything about that.
I'm going to leave that last part alone.
Yep.
And just say she's not making that up. On January 29th, 2020, I'm Dan, this is 2020.
God damn it.
Two inmates were murdered at Cal State Prison Solano, where Mark is incarcerated. The two attacks were separate, but all indications are that they were related.
Mm-hmm.
At 3:20 p.m., two inmates attacked a lone guy in the general population yard, and then less than a minute later, another duo attacked another man in the yard. At this point, I can't find any reporting on an official explanation for the motive, but it's a pretty messed up turn of events. Violence at a prison is not that uncommon, but this sort of thing, like a pair of coordinated killings, I don't think that happens every day.
I don't think that happens anywhere.
I could see this making Mark a bit tired, since there's probably a bit of increased security protocol and whatnot. And you know what? I don't care much for Mark, and I like to laugh at his dumb stories. But, you know, this is a pretty unexamined piece of, like, what life is like for people who are incarcerated.
Yeah.
Like, Mark had nothing to do with these killings, as far as anybody can tell. Obviously, I don't have any suspicion of that.
Right.
But because of them happening, they introduce all kinds of life stressors to his day-to-day life that, like, that's awful.
I can't imagine not getting some sort of PTSD in some form from that. So,
yeah.
That's fucked up.
It's very tragic, and I feel bad for him on a human level for
Absolutely.
That. So Carrie has a big thing that she's into on this episode. And it actually...
I would assume it's Space Command.
No.
How is that possible?
Everything is Space Command, man.
Okay, fair enough.
All of this...
Never mind. Fair enough. You're right.
So Carrie is into this this story. And I've heard her talk about it in a couple of the interviews that I've listened to that we haven't covered. Like when she went and talked to those magicians that were boring.
How is that possible?
So there is a UK-based UFO event called Rendlesham, Rendlesham event.
Okay.
And she actually went to the UK, and that's when at least one of the magicians was a British dude.
Right.
Interviewing him, and a lot of it had to do with Rendlesham. And so she's been getting into the case, trying to get to the bottom of this 1980 UK UFO sighting, and it turns out, might have been some trouble.
Okay.
Because of that. She might be having some consequences.
Ooh.
I had been in England over the holidays, right before returning on January 12th. That night before, it was around 11:30 at night. We nearly had a head-on with a black SUV Range Rover that was in a two-lane road and had come over to our lane and was headed straight for us.
Raptors.
We managed to avoid it at the last minute. The driver did not seem to realize they were on our side of the road at any time and actually appeared to be programmed.
Uh-oh. We got programmed people driving SUVs trying to run Carrie off the road.
It's just like with the, we're not sure if Mark was under attack. Like,
right.
Everything is about you.
Yeah, and this
everything is about you.
And this extends into so many areas of even like just the stuff we cover. Like, how many times was Roger Stone under attack?
Yeah.
Back in the early day before arrested or anything. Like when he there was the polonium poisoning affair.
That was the great.
But that is even like that's, you know, you forget about the, like, multiple times Alex tried to say someone tried to run Roger off the
road. Yeah, absolutely.
This is something that gets a lot of mileage in these worlds.
Yep.
It's completely unverifiable.
Nope.
Super scary.
Absolutely.
But if you believe it, it means that you're doing something that someone is afraid of.
Exactly.
So if you can get someone to believe the premise, you get them to buy the conclusion really easily.
If the reptoids aren't trying to kill you, you're not working hard enough.
Right.
That's the truth.
And you know what? You're working hard on something that's very scary and threatening to the powers that be, and that is Rendlesham.
So I believe that SUV was headed for us as a kind of a warning, possibly because of my sudden interest in revisiting the Rendlesham Forest sighting and landing that went on for several days. And I did ask Mark Richards about it in my interview.
So she'll talk to him a little bit more about this later. But the basic story of the Rendlesham event is it was on December 26th, 1980. And a security patrol saw some lights appearing to fall near Rendlesham Forest. They went towards the lights and claimed that they saw a glowing metallic object. An hour later, police arrived. They couldn't find any evidence of any of the things that the patrolmen claimed they have seen. Nothing in terms of even, like, downed trees or anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's super suspicious.
2 days later, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Hult came to the site to check things out, and he reported seeing flashing lights in the distance, among a few other anomalies. One thing that's very helpful in this case, though, that's so absent in a lot of other ones, is that Hult kept very detailed notes from his visit to the forest and even made a tape of his findings,
okay,
which you can find if you're interested.
All right.
The Rendlesham Forest UFO sighting is a gigantic comedy of errors from 40 years ago that's been exaggerated and embellished by paranormal and conspiracy scammers. And the entire story of it is pretty well explained by people back in 1980 mistaking various things as proof of aliens. Carrie has recently, for some reason, become interested in reopening the Rendlesham files, and good for her. I hope she has fun. But there's no chance that any government agent, mind-controlled, in a black SUV, is going to try and run her off the road because she's doing so. I wanted to get into, like, the whole thing about Rendlesham and, like, really deconstruct it, but it's really simple. Here's what happened.
Okay.
There was an object in the sky, like a meteor, that came down near Rendlesham.
Right.
It's documented around the same time that this thing happened. So the patrol people on the night of December 26th very clearly saw what looked to be a fireball.
Sure.
Basically.
Yeah, because it broke into the sky, atmosphere explodes,
so
the whole thing.
They go.
I saw Armageddon.
They go and try and examine it, realize that they don't know where it came down.
Right.
They see a flashing light in the distance, and they're like, oh my God, look at that thing flashing. They get all weirded out.
Yeah.
The police come. They don't find any indications of like a UFO landing or anything like that.
Because of course not.
Right. 2 days later, this lieutenant colonel comes. And he starts poking around. They find these little bits of evidence, in quotes.
Sure.
One of them is little divots in the ground that they think are landing sites.
Of course.
I saw the pictures of these. They're very small.
Tiny little aliens.
They are animal digs.
Nope. Tiny little aliens.
They are
very small aliens with little tiny feet.
No.
Okay, come on.
He also ends up seeing lights in the distance.
Aha, see?
And he notes that they are flashing at a 5-second interval.
Yeah.
Now, there happens to be a lighthouse exactly where those...
Where? I saw so many aliens whenever I was driving in Illinois one night. There was you look out off the side of the road, there's thousands of blinking red lights.
Uh-huh.
Aliens.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
So there is a lighthouse where this blinking light was.
Uh-huh.
Now, this Lieutenant Colonel Hult, he was like his base where he was stationed is a different place geographically than Rendlesham Forest.
Mm-hmm.
It is to the north of it. So from his perspective, where he normally is, that lighthouse is to the southeast. But since he traveled south to go to Rendlesham Forest, it was straight to the east. So when he saw this light, he discounted the possibility that it was the lighthouse because he was accustomed to seeing it from the southeast. So the perspective of it is completely...
How do you not know that?
And that's even present in his notes.
Oh, okay.
He says that it's like the lighthouse is to the southeast, but it's not anymore since you've gone south.
Right, right, right.
So all of the instances of things that people in 1980 were taking as like indications that there's aliens afoot.
Yeah.
And all of this, it's all very easily explained by little misunderstandings, thinking that rabbit diggings are a landing
obviously
site.
True.
Right. It's a comically lame in terms of like these sorts of events, because there is a lot of documentation from the firsthand stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you look at it, it's like, oh, this is weak.
Not good.
This is bad.
I like the idea of a guy not understanding that geography doesn't move with him. Like no matter where he goes on the planet, he's like, well, obviously the lighthouse is to the southeast. Of course.
I can kind of understand that not like being first in your mind.
No,
but then
of course.
When someone brings it up, you got to realize yeah. like, oh, wait, that's okay. That
there
makes
we go.
Sense. The lighthouse
I
live, is right over
I
there.
It's a triangle. I'm a right angle.
Whoops.
Gotcha.
Whoops.
Hypotenuse. I do the whole thing.
So anyway, no one's going to kill Carrie for looking into this dumb.
Ah, is the Lieutenant Colonel still alive?
I'm not
Second
sure.
Second question, does he still own that black Range Rover?
He was alive fairly recently, I believe, because I found some. He actually does believe it's aliens now.
Well, yeah, of course.
In direct contradiction of the notes. And
right. Well, he's no longer a lieutenant colonel, I imagine. He's got to make money somehow.
It's a weird thing. There's a lot of dumb theories about it, and there's actually a ton of rangy conspiracy about
all right you got any good ones?
No, I don't even care.
Okay,
but anyway, it was just a lighthouse. Anyway, now Carrie
that's the story of this show.
Yep.
Anyways, it was a fucking lighthouse, guys.
Yep. So Carrie gets into talking about the old coronavirus.
Sure Oh man, I did not even think that we were gonna get Mark Richards' opinion on the coronavirus.
I'm not positive we do.
Okay.
Carrie has some thoughts.
Never
though.
Mind.
So there's a big push not to allow advertisers to have advertisements on alternative people that are talking about this subject. And therefore,
Carrie,
I'm going to
you
be
know
using
why.
A silly sign in place of that word so that we can get this monetized so that I can still pay my rent and also still discuss the topic. So this is the kind of censorship going on YouTube nowadays, and everyone is aware of it, so this is widely known.
This isn't censorship. Carrie's holding up a sign that says coronavirus.
Sure.
Anyway, YouTube has a policy in place where they demonetize videos about topics that they determine to be sensitive. For instance, if there was just a mass shooting, videos covering that shooting will often be demonetized. And if you think about it for a second, this policy makes absolute sense, and it's probably one of the only compromises that the company can make to continue to exist and be marginally responsible. The goal is obviously to stop people from spreading misinformation, whether intentionally or just by way of sloppy work. After a shooting, you could easily pass along a misidentification of a suspect or erroneous early reports of multiple shooters, that kind of thing. And if you have a platform that's big enough, that can be a detriment to the public information base. In the case of the current coronavirus situation, it's really dangerous for people like Carrie to spread their views. And I base this off the fact that about 2 weeks ago, she released an interview about the coronavirus with Jim Humble, who happens to be the guy who invented the Master Mineral Supplement.
Oh, no.
He sold MMS as a cure for everything from HIV to cancer to acne, but it was really just bleach. A lot of the QAnon Johnny-come-latelys, when you hear them advising people to drink bleach for medicinal reasons, they're relying on the foundation of Jim Humble's work. So if Carrie is going to do an interview with Jim Humble about the virus, you can imagine it's full of the sort of information that's not going to help anybody and may hurt people.
So these people are treating bleach like the generic version of MMS is essentially what we're like. It's cheaper to buy bleach than it is to.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
That's
And maybe they just don't want Jim to get a cut or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. Stick it to Big Pharma. That's what I'm saying.
I haven't done enough digging into the QAnon side of this or even the like sort of non-QAnon but current batch of weirdos side of things. Yeah. I don't even know. Some of them might actually even be promoting Jim's stuff themselves. It may just be like, hey, Jim figured it out. So, like, you have people like Carrie, and that's the kind of person that she's talking to about an actual public health situation that's bad. If you're YouTube, you want to discourage that. but you also probably don't want to just ban all talk about the virus. You probably don't want to even ban all irresponsible talk about the virus, since that could have the effect of stifling content creators' feelings about being able to make what they want. The perfect balance is really just to demonetize the subject. If you want to cover the virus, you're free to do so, and YouTube won't censor you. However, if you're trying to spread misinformation for clicks, the demonetization serves as a demotivating factor, so you have less incentive to be sensational about a sensitive topic.
Exactly.
It's a tough situation, and there's almost certainly some good faith actors who have ended up getting their videos demonetized because of this rule. But were I in their shoes, I would kind of understand that. And that's really the only way to preserve free expression on YouTube while still catering to the advertisers that allow videos to be monetized in the first place. If constant demands are made for monetizations of videos where Carrie interviews a guy who wants you to drink bleach and YouTube goes along with that, it's only a matter of time before you're going to drive away all the big money advertising companies that make profiting off YouTube even possible. It's basically a killing the golden goose situation, and it's probably a battle people like Carrie should realize it's not in their interest to fight. You're only going to end up screwing over the ability to make any money by insisting on making money on everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a dime holding up a dollar. It's very stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carrie's mad about it.
There shouldn't be a financial incentive to... I mean, you shouldn't profit off of a terrible tragedy. Like, it seems very simple.
I agree.
Yeah.
Particularly in the immediate aftermath.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't know where my feelings are on the whole. I think if I were creating an ideal world, we would have some sort of a way that you wouldn't be able to monetize. Like, let's say you're doing Sandy Hook conspiracy videos in 2020.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I still think maybe there should be some thing in place where you can't monetize that.
Yeah.
And maybe there is.
Maybe
there is. I don't know. I don't use YouTube all that much as a creator or anything. So I have no idea.
It is frustrating though to not be, because I feel like you should be able to ban videos that tell you to drink bleach. That just feels like it shouldn't be that hard. And then you go back into that and you're like, okay, well now where's the line? And you're like, well, obviously I don't know where the goddamn line is, but I just know you shouldn't be able to drink bleach.
Yeah.
It seems simple.
It's a difficult, thing to figure out where exactly the line is. So anyway, Carrie's talking about the virus, and she predictably has a pretty similar theory to Alex, but is a little bit wilder.
So there is a rollout of a step-by-step program related to decreasing populations, and the step one is triggered by 5G.
Oh, I'm listening.
And that rollout now appears to be having an added sort of complexity level that involves this rollout.
Sure.
So the two are really linked, and I've done another video on this that has been getting out there quite well. I can say the chemtrails and nano are also part of that concoction.
So you got chemtrails and 5G being combined with the virus, and I mean, it's very similar to a lot of Alex conspiracies. The depopulation aspect of it is absolutely in play in Alex's theories.
Eesh. So all the aliens are basically like witches in Macbeth, just throwing all of these different things in a cauldron, trying to get all of humanity to die.
Yeah, I think so. I think that Carrie will spell it out a little bit more later in the interview about exactly how the aliens play into it.
Sure.
But for now, it's 5G triggers things
the virus
that are, that might be involved in chemtrails.
Of course.
She doesn't get loop back to explain how chemtrails are involved, but they're always involved.
Okay, well, chemtrails are just there.
Sure.
You know.
So stage one is this 5G activation of stuff.
Sure.
And then Mark has some news about stage two.
Okay.
This is a plan. There's also, according to Mark, the step two will be more earth changes that are man-made and a set of droughts that are going to be creating limitations on resources, especially water and limitations on travel. So these are key items to keep in mind going forward.
This is just fan fiction about the consequences of climate change.
Yeah, I mean, that's boo.
Yeah.
Boo, that's reasonable. Of course there's going to be droughts, and of course there's going to be man-made changes.
Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Fuck
She's
you.
Just turning aliens into the driving factor behind it.
Yeah.
The man-made part, she's not saying it's because of, like, fossil fuels.
Oh, no, of course not.
And all that. She's saying it's aliens are directing humans to do this.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Great.
However you get there, you gotta get there.
No. Not in this case. Not in this case. Because in this case, the conclusion invalidates the correct thing that she's asserting.
Okay, so maybe if instead she said we need to switch to all renewable fuels in order to stick it to the aliens.
I mean, yeah, that might be okay.
Okay.
At least that would be productively dumb. So we get back to Rendlesham now. She's jumping all over the place.
Okay, gotcha.
She had, earlier I was kind of expressing a little bit of confusion. Like, why is she deciding to reopen this cold case? I mean, really cold case.
So regarding Rendlesham, we had a fascinating discussion, and I had received a psychic message telling me to revisit the case.
Oh.
It happened in 1980. A lot of
the
witnesses have started to change their stories, have been changing their stories, have been in conflict with each other, and are suspicious of each other. And there's a lot of evidence of mind control between the witnesses and among them.
I don't know what the evidence of mind control
is.
I'm
going to go with that sounds more like evidence that some of them are lying.
Yeah. So Jenny Randles is the person who first primarily covered the Rendlesham story in the press, in the London Evening Standard, and even wrote an early book about the event. Her works are largely credited with building some of the early hype surrounding the alleged sighting. But in 2011, she said, quote, "While some puzzles remain, we can probably say that no unearthly craft were seen in Rendlesham Forest."
Boo.
"We can also argue with confidence that the main focus of the events was a series of misperceptions of everyday things encountered in less than everyday circumstances." That's one person who changed their tune, but it's not recent.
Nah, that's mind control.
Lieutenant Colonel Charles Hult's story has also changed, but it changed to support the UFO view. He currently believes that a UFO did show up back in 1980, which, like I mentioned earlier, relies on him kind of negating a bunch of documented evidence that some of it he himself created.
Yeah, but that's how you know it's de-mind control. He's un-mind controlled.
Another person who changed their story is Jim Peniston, who's one of the patrolmen from the first night's affair. He now claims that he touched a UFO that night. But weirdly,
lean in, buddy.
Weirdly, that was never mentioned when he was initially interviewed about what happened around the same
time. That would be the first thing you mentioned.
Seems like he's changed his story.
High on the list.
So there seems to me to be two sorts of people who are changing their stories in this case.
Uh-huh.
The first are people who were supportive of the UFO narrative initially, who changed their position based on evidence, an explanation
Mind
of
control.
What was being misperceived.
Mind control.
The other are people who are initially skeptical, who have changed their position to believing the UFO narrative without any real reason, any evidence, and sometimes needing to contradict actual evidence.
D-mind control.
If I were someone who was involved in this event, I would probably also view everyone else suspiciously. There are clearly some scammers in the mix, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's not good. So he claims to have touched a UFO?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So there's a cover-up going on here, obviously.
Of course.
Now, it's obvious that this cover-up has to do with UFO in England.
Yes.
But did you know that it also has to do with our electoral system?
It doesn't sound true.
Now, regarding Rendlesham, there is a presence behind the scene of the usual suspects regarding mind control. And that is the names that I've got listed here. And they show up time and time again with regard to cover-ups. And that includes the alien autopsy, the takedown of Richard Nixon, our president, back in those days.
Of course.
Was Nixon president in 1980?
Back in those days, he was.
I understand that she's probably talking about, like, prior to the Rendlesham affair. But, I don't know if the Nixon impeachment was mind control, but apparently it is.
What else could it have been?
This guy, Mark Richards, and by virtue of their connection, Carrie, is always right about everything.
Naturally.
So the cover-up is mind-control-based. It extends to the alien autopsy and the Nixon impeachment.
The tendrils are all over
through
this
ways
thing.
That are unclear, but it's all basically about magic.
Uh-huh.
And these individuals are highly remote, you know, are remote viewers, involved in remote viewing, involved in the origination or putting together the protocols with Ingo Swann of the original remote viewing protocols. And this involved Scientology practices as well. So it's important to know that all of that is just information, a way of packaging information, a way of using your psychic abilities in a certain controlled way to access events and future, past, and present events, things going on that are what we call signal non-locality and spooky action at a distance. These are all terms related to that.
No, they're not.
We'll get back to this. Spooky actions at a distance is a great expression.
Well, that's what it, that's quantum entanglement.
Spooky.
Yeah, it's what they call it.
At a distance.
It's what they call it.
I love it.
It's great.
And there's a lot of information and investigations that have been done around this. It also has been around from time immemorial, not under these names, but certainly practiced by dark magicians and light magicians everywhere, witches, you know, warlocks, you name it, around the globe.
You name it.
Just for eons. So it's important to know this. This is not new. It has simply been put into a kind of a protocol, and Scientology has also been instrumental.
So your theory from a past Mark Richards, Carrie Cassidy episode of her having some involvement in Scientology might be sounding a little less crazy now. So apparently Scientology is just a formulation of the making yourself able to use magical powers that witches and warlocks, you name it, have been using forever.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I do like the idea that it's okay now to just be like, well, Elrond got some stuff right. Uh-huh. Duh.
He does know how to use magic.
Right.
Sure.
He got that elemental with him, and they fucking rolled out. You know, that's the real issue here. They're talking about the E-meter. That's totally what she's talking about. She's like, we're making people clear, but that's not Elrond's thing. That's actually what fucking John Dee did in the 1600s or whatever.
What if I were to tell you that instead of allowing you to use magic, it's a blackmail racket?
What is blackmail but black magic, Dan?
Certainly. So we get Carrie's talking here about Rendlesham, and we get some of Mark's perspective on it, and I don't think he's correct.
Mark said that the reason there's such a cover-up of the Rendlesham case is that there were over 200 people affected in the radius of the incidents. That the aliens were attempting to land, this is, had been their second or third attempt to make contact with humans.
What happened the first
couple of
times? They did
not look humanoid. And in this landing attempt, they used telepathy to communicate with around 200 people. He said there were both civilians and military in attendance, and that lends itself to the idea that the landing was pre-arranged. And this also went over a period of 8 days as opposed to the 3 that are usually talked about.
This is all made up.
No, come on. It's Alien Hanukkah, Dan.
What's so fun, when there's a cover-up, you can just say anything.
Yeah.
Like, evidence doesn't need to match anything because there's a cover-up.
It's a cover-up.
And you can see this in the, like, none of this next clip means a fucking thing.
When the aliens projected the images into the humans' minds, a lot of the humans couldn't handle it. What they were projecting were images not only of themselves, but also of other races they've encountered,
right,
and also other planets altogether.
Sure.
And this sort of package of telepathic information freaked the Americans and the British and all those in attendance out.
I think Mark's been reading Lovecraft.
Yeah.
I really just think this
really
is like...
freaked him out.
Yeah. This is just like Shadow Out of Time or so this is pretty similar to a couple of Lovecraft stories.
I just like it whenever he throws out some details that make things a lot more complicated. Like, if this is their second or third time trying to contact us,
right?
Don't they already know that their psychic abilities fuck people up? Yeah. What are you guys doing?
The aliens, which Carrie actually speculates later that they're the spider leadership. The spiders were involved in this.
I thought they were going to be rabbit people. That's nope. The only thing that makes sense to me.
Oh, that would explain the holes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
So, yeah, the spiders are like, all right, guys, look, last time, this really did not go well. People freaked the fuck out. Let's try it again.
Yep. Guys, I propose we don't change a thing.
No tweaks needed. It was probably just those people's fault. Different people work differently. It'd be great.
Although that does humanize the aliens quite a bit.
And they're not humans. They're spiders.
Exactly.
Most likely.
Probably.
According to Carrie's theory. So a bunch of people freaked out, couldn't handle it because they saw a bunch of alien beings in their head, which again...
Yeah.
Classic Lovecraft.
Yeah.
The idea that you catch an eldritch glimpse of another world and it drives
you
mad.
Yes. The human mind can't handle it.
So, but you might think, like, okay, then what happened with them? Wouldn't they still be raving mad people throughout Rendlesham?
No.
Well, it turns out Mark might have also seen Men in Black.
Okay.
A lot of the humans never recovered. Their memories were wiped. Afterwards, I guess through military mind control.
Sure.
Attempts were made in that regard. Some of those humans lost
neuralizer.
Their minds and never recovered.
You know.
Then there was also an exchange of fire, because when there was an overload from the aliens to the humans reacted, and then the aliens reacted because the humans reacted.
Sure.
And there was an emotional overload that went to these artificial intelligence that the aliens brought with them, who then reacted to the overload of emotional energy, and apparently one side or the other opened fire. I'm not sure which. There was friendly fire as well.
Of course.
Individuals.
Well, they were all in a circle.
This is maddening.
Again, adding that little detail of this is their second or third time just makes that so much better.
Afterwards, like, if you're the spider that was in charge of this, you're getting called into a meeting with your boss. Like, hey, you should have known better. How'd you let this happen? This is an event.
This is the second or third time, so that means I thought before it was just the humans got fucked up. Now I know that we're creating a feedback loop where everybody explodes.
The aliens, there's contagious gunfire.
Exactly.
And the aliens have to be using like human weapons or else it would leave evidence of alien weapon discharges over the place.
Of course.
And then because the aliens and the humans are both in this feedback loop, the AI gets triggered. So there's an emotional overload.
Yep.
Holy shit. Yep. Yeah, this is a quagmire.
Guys, this was a disaster the first time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that maybe that was just, we landed in the wrong spot. We got to go to the UK, you idiots.
I just picture this spider going in to see his boss and dude's just like, you're so fired. You are so fired. We have to do a 40-year cover-up about this now. Do you understand?
Oh, that's really fucking up at your job. That really is fucking up at your job.
Totally. Oh, back when I worked at Groupon, I got a price wrong on one of the deals.
Yeah.
And that was like a huge, huge mistake that I ended up having to get in trouble for. It all worked out okay, but it was a big chaotic day. I can't imagine if I was that spider. Holy shit.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No. So anyway, none of that is
okay.
Real.
Okay. No. Thank you.
But
thanks for reminding me.
But actually, it might be.
Okay.
Because Mark met a guy.
Mark also said he has met a man near Salinas, California, who was an MP at the time, was in attendance on the Rendlesham meeting and landing. And he said he's never regained his memories completely, but lost his mind and never recovered from that either. And that this was covered up in a huge way.
All right. That makes sense.
I love this type of storytelling. Like, it's my favorite type of storytelling. Have you ever seen The Magicians, the sci-fi show?
No, I have not.
I will guarantee Carrie has, but okay. This is my favorite form of storytelling. Introduce a problem and then immediately know the guy who can solve it.
Uh-huh.
Like, zero time difference between them. Just like, hey, I don't know if this is true or not. Well, guess what? I know a guy. The end.
Uh-huh.
It's perfect.
Well, and also, one of the things that I have a little bit of a problem with here is that Mark committed that murder in 1982.
Yeah.
And went to prison in 1984.
Off planet.
Right. Here's the thing. That event took place in December 1980. Yeah. So if there was a former MP who was there, who right. lost his mind,
right.
is a brief window.
Well, he lost
Mark's
his mind.
Because Mark's been in prison since 84. If he met this guy in Salinas, it has to be that this guy was an MP, lost his mind,
yep.
went to California, was wandering.
Yes. Immediately.
The window is small.
First thing that happened.
Unless, of course, astral travel.
Sure.
Spooky action over distance.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
I don't buy this. Anyway. So the coronavirus, uh-huh. according to Carrie and Mark, is a right. depopulation plan.
Of course.
And we know this. I don't believe.
We just know it.
Well, Mark knows this.
Okay.
Many months prior to this whole occurrence and breakout of this so-called virus, basically there was a plan, according to Mark, to eliminate 500 million of Chinese. This was their plan. This is was leaked to Mark and I guess a certain group that he works with in the military.
Really?
And they were
Carrie,
going to try to
you don't even buy that one.
China of going down this path. Obviously they failed.
Important points, so-called virus.
Yeah, I love,
no good,
I love
Carrie.
So-called
no good.
Virus. I love it.
All right. Second, it was leaked to Mark?
Yep. By the people he works with in the military.
Sure it was. But you also see similarities between her narrative and Alex's narrative. In terms of China wanting to depopulate, there was a Chinese plan. All of this is very closely in line with a lot of the things that are the underpinnings of, up till this point at least, Alex's conspiracy narrative about this. Which is weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
I immensely enjoy the so-called. Mm. You can put that in front of anything and
sure.
everybody's like, oh, really?
It's kind of just being an asshole.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. So here we see another similarity between her view of this and Alex.
There's no doubt that this version is a bioweapon.
No
it
doubt.
It is unstable. It will mutate. And it is triggered as well by 5G. And Mark was not clear on whether that was the case. A lot of investigation has been done recently.
So here you see a similarity and a kind of difference, because Alex, as far as I've heard, hasn't committed to the 5G necessarily
it, yeah.
being involved.
Yeah.
Although I have heard at least a caller make that point, and he didn't push back on it. So it's entertained on
yeah.
Alex's show, at
yeah,
least.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have a fuller version here of it is a bioweapon. It's triggered by 5G. They're interconnected. Also, at the end there, you hear like, this is just Carrie. Mark didn't even
yeah.
say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
This is supposed to be about her interview with Mark, and she's saying he didn't say this.
You know what? So far, I think she knows something, and that is Mark was not having a good day, so he's not bringing
he's
the
tired.
Heat. He's not bringing the heat this time.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing the heat out of it. She said he just didn't know.
Uh-huh.
He's supposed to, like,
he's
wink.
He's supposed to know everything.
He's supposed to wink noddingly
yeah.
or something like that. She just gave me a Mark doesn't know.
So in this next clip is kind of where my brain just was like, I don't even know what to do anymore. I stared at my computer for like 5 minutes
okay.
after hearing this.
Okay.
And I was just like, I don't know what's going
you
on.
You got mind control.
There's evidence even in the documentation behind 5G saying that it will, that oxygen is actually, it attracts, oxygen attracts 5G. Somehow there's some kind of relationship there between the frequencies of 5G and oxygen, and that as a consequence, humans around it will have trouble breathing.
I just didn't know. I don't know what to do. Oxygen attracts 5G. 5G attracts oxygen. Yep. I don't know what's going on. Yep. That's the kind of thing that makes me want to just hide in the closet.
Oxygen attracts 5G. Like,
I can't do this.
No. When somebody says oxygen attracts 5G, you stop everything and you listen to them. You listen to them,
especially
as soon as
when
they
mumble through it, very non-specifically,
convincingly.
Yeah.
Oxygen attracts. Mm-hmm. How do you think oxygen? Give me any kind of reasonable way that oxygen could attract 5G.
Well, you see, oxygen, what is it, right?
Do you mean that literally, or is that like what is oxygen?
Give me the chemical. The chemical compound of oxygen.
Oxygen.
It's O2.
Yes, I understand.
So the oxygen molecules are bonded to each other, but there's a free electron. I have no idea.
All right, so we're dealing with an isotope of oxygen.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. Right. I don't know. I hear stuff like that, and I almost get into like a trance.
Yeah.
I'm just no.
I just don't understand how you can say that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people who have got the coronavirus, COVID-19. There's a lot of people who, particularly in China, there's large numbers of people who have passed away because of complications and the pneumonia and what have you. Carrie would say that this is not true. And in fact, there's something else going on.
So as of February 16th, the numbers Mark had was 100,000 humans were involved. He said 30% had died, 30% were infected, and 40% were taken off-world and shipped to other planets.
Ooh, that's
by
a lot.
The reptilians for food and sex slaves and so forth.
Okay.
Does the virus make them easier to digest?
No, it's a cover. It's a cover for the raptors or reptilians, to take 40% of 100,000, so 40,000 people off planet to fuck and eat.
Yeah. Okay.
That seems like
a lot of work.
It's frustrating.
That seems like a lot of work.
Right. Considering they could just, I don't know, whatever they do all the time. Aren't they doing this all the time? Like in wars and anytime there's like an earthquake, isn't that cover for aliens taking people to fucking eat?
Yeah,
like,
you know.
You don't need to do, ugh.
Sometimes you order the same meal at a bunch of different restaurants. You go for the atmosphere, you know? Sometimes you need to get that food in a different way. You know, like maybe this is their version of going to a tiki-themed hut.
Sure. Sometimes you order out. Sometimes you want to walk to the store to pick it up.
Yeah, sure.
It's different moods.
Yeah.
That's very stupid. So it turns out there's a lot going on, and what it has to do with, on a grander level, is aliens taking over the planet. And I started to hear a lot of things that are very similar to when Alex talks about what's at the bottom of the rabbit hole.
Sure.
When he starts talking about the evil demonic spirits that are behind the globalists.
Right, which are totally real, and they are spirits, and they are not aliens, Dan. Aliens are silly.
Well, it seems to me that there's a lot of similarities between the way that Carrie talks about the Draco and the reptilians.
Sure.
And Alex talks about the demons that are behind the globalists.
Right.
We are fighting a battle here on planet Earth against their interference here on the planet, as well as their plans to terraform this planet. So none of this is really actually all that new. The added element, of course, of 5G has escalated the symptoms and the situation.
Because it's attracting too much oxygen.
The rollout of chemtrails, the implantation of nano in the chemtrails and in our bodies is all part of the agenda. The push to make a transhuman agenda and also change the environment here on planet Earth to make it a more methane like environment. All of this has been covered by Project Camelot in my interviews, in my presentations for many years.
The transhumanist agenda is something that Alex talks about a whole lot being a way to make a world where these demonic forces can, I don't know.
Yeah, if she dragged Drag Queen Story Hour into this, it'd be like, oh, we just got bingo.
Sure.
You nailed it. Yeah.
And with the terraforming the planet, Alex talks all the time about how we're actually carbon starved. And
oh, we're
trying. The globalists are trying to change the environment. Mm-hmm. And such. Whenever he gets really like grasping, he'll pull out Childhood's End and how the aliens in Childhood's End needed to create the environment in a different way for them to be able to exist. Like,
of course,
this is all very similar to, like, just pulling things from probably the same sci-fi sources and just packaging them in different ways in order to either push a paranormal conspiracy mm-hmm. world or a political conspiracy world. And I think people should recognize that. When they're being conned by Alex, it might as well be buying into Carrie's shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same level of reasonability.
Yeah, we said it last, recently. It's just like, the only difference between those is your flavor of sci-fi source material.
Yep. And it just goes on. I mean, the similarities are very clear.
So reptilians and Draco are assisting China with their population reduction plans. According to Mark, China doesn't need help from the West to eliminate population, and they are perfectly capable of doing this on their own. So anyone who thinks that China is a victim in this scenario is wrong.
Boo. I mean, taking aside that kind of callous and shitty perspective, you replaced Draco and reptilian with globalists there at the beginning.
Same thing.
The sentence, the globalists are helping China with population reduction.
There you go.
Very easily comes out of Alex's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily.
Yep.
It's all the same shit.
Yep.
So Carrie will tell you that some opportunists are out there and they're trying to use the coronavirus for their own purposes. Maybe to get more attention to your videos that are monetized on YouTube, or maybe to sell food buckets.
Sure.
That's not what she's talking
something
about.
Something wild.
That's not what she's talking
something
about.
Something unreasonable.
It's other sorts of opportunists.
There are opportunists out there that are taking advantage of this rollout of, obviously, this and more are basically using the weaponized and mutation of it to attack their own people. It is no coincidence that the highest rates of CV are also showing up around the world in places where 5G has been installed.
There's a problem with this argument that Carrie's making, and that's that it's not really possible to trace a one-to-one relationship between coronavirus cases and availability of 5G coverage. One glaring example of this is that there's a particularly bad outbreak in Iran. According to Press TV, there is no 5G program in Iran as of February 13th, 2020, but there are plans in place to begin launching one in the coming Persian calendar year, which just began this month. So that kind of doesn't make sense for Carrie's argument. South Korea is another country with a ton of cases of coronavirus, but this too is an interesting study for the 5G argument. The largest number of cases are in the area of Daegu, which does have 5G coverage, but the capital, Seoul, also has a very robust 5G network in place, and it has relatively few cases of the virus. There doesn't seem to be a determinative factor here. And given the kinds of data points you see, it seems far more likely that there's something else, another variable at play that Carrie is ignoring in order to push her 5G conspiracy paranoia.
It makes perfect sense, okay? Iran is trying to roll out this 5G technology, and then it's like an oil spill. You know, some of the 5G got out before they were ready for it, and so that's why there are so many cases there.
Sure.
Same thing, and Seoul, it's just contained better, whereas Daegu, they have a terrible 5G containment system, getting all that oxygen going around. Everybody's screwed.
Mm. Similarly, Italy has had a lot of cases of the virus.
Sorry, my bad.
But they only have partial 5G coverage in select cities. In 2019, they launched 5G in Milan, Turin, and Bologna, which are all cities that have had some relevant coronavirus activity. But the problem is they also launched 5G in Rome and Naples, which have seen relatively very little virus activity. The next country with the most cases is Germany, and there is currently no 5G network in Germany. There may be a few stray antennas around the country that are experimenting with implementation, but there's nothing you would call 5G coverage. There are currently wireless companies making bids to build out, and according to an article in January from Deutsche Welle, the whole thing is in its infancy. A rep for Telefonica Germany was quoted as saying, quote, by the end of 2021, the company wants to offer 5G in the five largest German cities. And by 2022, it wants to expand to the 30 biggest cities.
All right. Well, we know exactly when Germany's going to fall.
So the next hardest hit country is France, and they, too, are in the earliest stages of 5G deployment. It's easy to see China and South Korea being hit very hard by this outbreak and say those countries are on the forefront of 5G, so these things must be connected. But that kind of thinking requires completely ignoring a ton of other variables and factors, which is kind of the Project Camelot specialty.
Yeah.
When you look at the actual country, like, it's all good and well and fun to say the countries that are hit the most are the ones that rolled out 5G. It's just, it doesn't match the reality.
No.
So you're wrong. That's just wrong.
They're not good with nuance or variable. Like, it's the same way that she described.
But it feels good.
Yeah. Well, it's the same way that she described, in that bullshit, callous, awful clip where she's like, oh, well, the Chinese have no problem killing themselves, so they're not victims here. And it's like, at no point in time does she accept that there's a difference between Chinese people. Mm-hmm. Like, Chinese people are people. Like, she treats them the same way that she treats the alien races of, like,
well, of
all Draco do this, so that means, in the same way, all Chinese people do this. And it's not just their leadership killing them or whatever. It's them all doing it to themselves.
Yeah, that's the essentialist argument that, or not argument, perspective that she has about classes of folk.
And it's fucked up.
Yeah, it's very weird and unfortunate. And dumb.
Yeah.
So to get back to more Alex Jones connections, in this next clip, she discusses how humans are, there's a plan in place that's moving forward to make humans part AI.
Okay.
Which is something that Alex talks about a lot.
I'm cool with
that. At any rate, we talked about that humans are slated to become partially AI, a transhumanist species at this time, although Mark feels that the transhumanist agenda will not be allowed to happen because he believes there's enough military men like himself that are against it. And there's the biggest issue is they cannot tell exactly when we move from being AI from being human to being AI. And there's
a
point at which you become more AI than you become human, obviously.
This is a philosophical argument that I'm not positive she and Mark had.
I think they've got this one.
I mean, the humans are slated to become part AI, but it's probably not going to work because there's a human resistance within the military.
Of course.
Is classic Alex.
Oh, yeah.
That is very, very, very Alex.
It's going to be a counter coup that they need to get the coup taken care of, and that's how we're going to get rid of 5G or partial AI or whatever it is you like.
Something.
Yeah.
So, turns out Dracos, bad news. Bad news.
Yes.
Those Dracos.
No good.
They're fighting the Raptors in space.
Right.
And it turns out that a lot of the things that happen on Earth are actually part of that battle.
So he said that there's a Draco battle in the Orion Galaxy, and a lot of what has been happening on Earth has to do with that battle. In that battle, the Draco are fighting with the Raptors, and the Raptors have recruited 1 million humans who are fighting with them against the Draco. At the same time, the Draco and reptilians, the reptilians report to the Draco, are working with China in order to distract the Raptors here on Earth and occupy them and to take their attention away from here on Earth and to get them to fight in this battle in the Orion Galaxy, and so that they can take over Earth. So it's a takeover scenario. This is a kind of battle going on between what we call good and evil, but it's really a transhumanist agenda in the end.
Hey, Carrie, I gotta go.
Man.
I gotta go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I hear stuff like that. I was like, okay.
Nothing
I can do with that. Just gonna let you put that out there. Cool.
I love the needs. I love whenever they have specific needs, you know? Like, of course the Raptors need 1 million humans.
Right.
The exact number.
It's like a child wrote
this. It's Dr. Evil. It's that kind of shit. Like, you don't know how many people are a lot of people.
Also, I feel like this plan is self-contradictory. So there's a pre-existing war between the Dracos and the Raptors that is in space. Can you please take notes?
I will take notes.
I'm going to try and walk through this.
I'm going to get my partial AI up to speed on this one. Yep.
So, Draco fighting Raptors in space.
Always.
Battle of good and evil. Mm-hmm. So the Draco are coming to Earth and using the Chinese in order to distract the Raptors.
Right.
Because they want to distract them from the battle in space.
Right, it's a feint.
Right, in order to lure the Raptor forces here so they can have success in space.
Yes.
But then she says that it's a plan to take over Earth. But it seems like Earth is really the distraction for the Orion space battle.
Right.
What is actually going on here?
Okay, so
Earth seems to not be important, but then ultimately it seems like she's saying that it's the ultimate goal.
Well, I think it's a lot like how in like World War II you would see bases go back and forth.
You would see that.
Like the Germans would take over this base, but what it was a feint to get the French over there, and then they retreat from that base and then go take over another one, and that's why they were enlisted to fight with the Raptors.
But
they were so good at planning, Dan.
But Jordan, that base that they used as a feint was not important.
No.
That's Earth.
Yes. I think that means that we're not important in this scenario.
But still, Carrie has to make us the most important.
Well, we're crucial.
It's narcissism. We're either bait or we're the heroes. One of the two. Can't really be both. So anyway, we get back to similarities with Alex, and all I hear whenever I listen to this now is just such a stark contact between the evil force behind the globalists and the Draco.
Right.
It's almost one-to-one.
One-to-one.
There is a relationship between the Draco and reptilians and the Greys who report to them, as well as what's called, they are kind of put packaged together in a terminology called the Luciferian Alliance.
Oh, of
course.
They
feed on humans and obviously, you know, our blood.
So they drink our blood,
obviously.
Even. And they're Luciferian. There's the Satanism that's behind the globalists.
Yeah.
It's all exactly the same shit. So there's a race that used to be around called the Anunnaki, and they were a humanoid species.
Right.
And now they're helping with the bad guys, which makes them the globalists.
Oh, so the Anunnaki are helping the Draco now.
Yes.
Okay, I gotcha.
Which makes them the globalists in this scenario.
Yeah.
The humans that are doing the bidding, or the humanoid or whatever, they're doing the bidding of the Draco evil force.
Okay.
It's also significant that, as I've said before, that the Anunnaki were taken over also by this reptilian agenda and by the Draco. And so what you have at this time is a Draco Anunnaki hybrid race, and this is often where Anunnaki are considered or thought to be reptilian, when in reality they are a humanoid species that were taken over by the Draco many eons ago. And the Draco are helping China to obtain their goal of eliminating a certain portion of their population at this time.
Sure.
So there is a sense that we have invaders at the gates.
Always invaders.
So you've got the Anunnaki, who are humanoids, who are doing the bidding of the Dracos, and they're helping China.
Sure.
It's all the same.
I do see, like, here's what I see going on with this is like when the Protocols of the Elders of Zion was written, there was a committee there and they were all pitching ideas for what it was they were doing. And one guy was just like, "Hey, I know we're talking about Jews, but what if it was aliens?" And they were like, "Get this guy the fuck out of here." And he was like, "I'm going to start my own group."
And that was David Icke's grandfather.
Yeah, exactly. And here we are.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll get back to some of this weird shit. But it has to be interrupted by a claim that I just can't imagine is true.
Okay.
There's also, I just want to highlight, I used to work as a contractor in the media, the area of media, at JPL, Jet Propulsion Lab. And there's a very old-fashioned phone system that I became aware of and that they keep operational. And obviously, this is analog and basically for, I guess, in the event of an AI takeover.
I don't think I believe Carrie worked even as a contractor for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Since 1958, JPL has been owned and operated by NASA. So at any point that she could have possibly been there, she would have been employed by NASA.
Mm-hmm.
I find this difficult to believe, but then again, a lot of really strange contract employment does happen. It's not impossible to me, but I find this weird.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it, but it does have the sound of like such a tossed off fact mm-hmm. that there's something behind it.
I feel like it would come up a lot more in the past.
Oh, that's true.
But another reason I find this hard to believe is that JPL offers a ton of fellowships and internships for students looking to build up their resumes, given that it's actually also part of the California Institute of Technology. I would assume that whatever media contract work they would have, like hired Carrie for, could have easily been handled by a Caltech student, but I have no idea. I'd be interested to know more about her supposed entry in this resume. Even if she did contract there for a bit, I have no reason to believe that it gave her access to any inside information. For instance, that little bit of trivia about the phone. She could have easily gotten that from a tour of the facility, which are offered to folks who make reservations or for one of what they used to hold open houses on a regular basis.
Oh, maybe she means she gave tours.
No, I doubt it.
Okay.
If what she's saying about them using an old phone system is even accurate, there are other explanations for why that would be the case. Like, she's arguing that it's because of an AI takeover that they're afraid of. But what about the idea that, like, there might be areas of the lab that are engaged in very precise measurements that could be thrown off by electronic signatures from mobile phones or wireless signals? I have no idea if that is the case, but off the top of my head, it's a possible explanation for why a super high-tech lab might rely on low-tech strategies for phones.
Direct line to Batman, obviously.
It's completely conceivable.
Yeah. The direct line to Batman?
No.
Oh, damn.
So now, we get into a weird theory.
Okay.
This ends up being a rationalization for why Trump is closing the border. Wants to close the border. We've heard her talk about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a completely fresh thought that she has, but it's fleshed out in a way that is a little bit more full than we've heard in the past.
Okay.
So the gray human hybrid program, people had wanted me to ask Mark more about this, so I did talk to him about it. Obviously, their government has made a deal with grays.
Obviously.
Having to do with an exchange of technology. This goes back to the days of Eisenhower and is very well known.
Of course.
By people in our sector.
Roswell.
Now, there was a deal also made to get them to stop abducting U.S. citizens and to focus on south of the border. That indeed is what happened. The grays have been much more active abducting individuals in Latin and South America. As a result, over the past 60 years, and this is really why Trump wants to close the border. It has to do with those hybrids coming of age. So those are gray human hybrids, and that was a very successful program on the part of the grays, and a lot of those individuals want to come back and come to the United States, and this is creating kind of an X-Men scenario having to do with a population that's hard to control.
All this is creating a narrative where it becomes emotionally acceptable for you to accept brutal policing on vulnerable populations that are coming up from south of the border.
Oh, boy.
That is all just an outrageous fantasy version of why, like, yeah, of course we should put people in cages. Of course. I mean, kill them if you need to.
Yeah.
They're superpowered.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, this could be a Cyclops with no mask situation very easily if we allow it to be.
Oh, man.
What if one of them is able to explode? What do we do then?
I just don't know. I mean, you know, I think a lot of genocides were X-Men based, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think personally, that's why genocides tend to occur.
Yeah.
There's just too many goddamn X-Men out there.
Yeah.
Every time they pop up, we got to genocide them.
This is all just to create emotional distance between people that are unlike yourself.
Yeah,
that's shitty.
Fucked up.
It's really, really fucking bad. And I'd like to say this. I understood that according to paranormal lore, Eisenhower signed a contract with aliens to, you know, that has to do with abductions and stuff.
Yeah, I
understand that is a part of the canon.
You didn't realize it was foreign policy based?
I didn't realize that he sold out
the people
in Central and South America.
That
and if so,
me up.
I would like to say, I don't like Ike.
I don't like Ike.
I do not like Ike. That's really shitty, man.
That's for American foreign policy in a nutshell, isn't it?
Hey, look,
Grays. We just don't want problem on our board.
Grays.
Hey, we just don't want it in our house.
We go fuck with them. That's horrible.
He made a treaty with them. How can you make a treaty with them for another nation to be ransacked? Like, aren't we really? That's not even a treaty. Isn't he just being like, hey, look at those guys over there. Why don't you do those guys?
Right.
That's bad.
That's real bad.
That's bad negotiation on his part. And so, also, Kerry is being very racist.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite frankly, that's all that really boils down to. It's just a rationalization. And I guess it's probably more fun to tell yourself that that's like what you're afraid of.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, it's cowardly. It's not people who have different skin than me. I'm not worried about them. Yeah. It's that they're X-Men. It's that. Yep. Dan, it's obvious.
So,
I'm not a racist.
But look, the problem is that there's going to be an invasion at the border, and it might not be immigrants from the South. And we know that this is going to happen. And Kerry explains why.
Okay.
She has it on really good authority.
All right.
There is also still the risk of the Chinese infiltration through our border and underground of that border. And I've actually had a very significant dream that I certainly hope doesn't come true, that it does involve Chinese invading through that border.
Oh, I didn't know you had a dream.
Well, that's now that I've got Dream behind me, I there's just nothing I can do.
We do know that she's psychic. So
that's true.
This is not good. China's going to invade with X-Men.
I think one thing that concerns me, she's on Trump's side.
Yeah.
Does she not know who the bad guy in X-Men was?
American
government.
Right. But
about prejudice.
But that's how the movie got made. You understand?
It's pro X-Men propaganda from the Chinese.
Exactly.
You know what? I retract my criticism. This goes back to Alex.
Also,
she's on the side of the bad guy in every movie.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is insane.
Also, important point.
Yeah.
I don't know what superpowers are being created down there, but every single X-Men movie I've ever seen, every single X-Man and woman can handle a wall.
I don't know. That's not true. There's that one guy.
Who?
The guy who's kept in that little room in X-Men The Last Stand. The one who cured other mutants of their mutantness.
Magneto?
No. Magneto fucks up walls left and right.
I don't.
Nobody has ever treated walls left.
Fine. 90% of X-Men characters would have no problem with a wall. Nightcrawler can crawl right over it. Most of them can fly.
He can teleport through. Yeah. People can walk through walls.
Right. Or, I don't know, you get Juggernaut to just run through
it. Right.
Problem.
Right.
Solved for the X-Men.
But then you reveal yourself to the greater population, so it makes more sense to just acquiesce to your horrific treatment.
I don't,
you know, like how the X-Men did.
Okay, still gonna have a problem with the teleporters.
Yeah. Well, they're working for the Draco, man. If you can teleport, you get Lieutenant Colonel status.
I love the idea that you're trying to create this exaggerated threat, and your solution is a fucking wall.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
build the wall.
Solve it.
Build the wall.
Right, we got super humans. Wow, they can't handle a wall.
No matter what, everyone she likes is incompetent in these stories.
Fucking humans can climb these walls that we're building. Non-superpowered people. Dumb.
That's very dumb.
Anyway, you were touching on some of the... Let's call it subtle racism.
Are we calling it subtle?
Well, compared to this next clip, what she said earlier was subtle.
Okay.
This, not so subtle. Also involves her believing that the movie Logan is real.
Okay.
Which we have heard her say before.
It's a great movie.
She has said that it's real before. So that part, not shocking. Mm-hmm. Although what comes after it, very racist.
Again, the Greys report to the reps who report to the Draco. There's an important story story I'm talking about has to do with an X-Men movie called Logan, which I highly recommend if you haven't seen it.
Great movie.
And Latinos and South Americans are closer to what you call a root race. They're closer to the root race, and therefore they are a better genetic sort of basis or more fertile ground for the invasion of the gray genetics. And they, you know, when you do hybridization, it is known you need a very sturdy root stock. And so this is why they concentrated in that area. And you need, meaning strong enough to handle without dying the gray DNA. So that's really what's going on there.
Wow.
You know what? This is a proof of how equal our society is now. You know,
really?
In the early 1800s, this is the type of shit that doctors would say about women. And now here we are. A woman is strong enough to paint an entire race of people with one big broad brush, like we've always dreamt of, Dan.
Sure.
It's equality. This racist bullshit is equality.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, kind of make the argument that closer to the root race, that phrasing might be equivalent to unevolved.
Yeah.
There might be a certain... I can't even get it. Like, this is...
I don't know,
like,
what that means.
Comically offensive.
I don't know how you can... I don't know how you can say that out loud and be like, no, I'm not being racist.
Because...
I'm actually being complimentary, if anything
else. Because they're so strong.
Their genetics are so good. They're so much better than ours.
Because this classification of people is different than white people.
Yeah.
They're not as far along the path, which makes them easier for aliens to hybridize.
Yep. Obviously. Aliens don't want white people, Dan. Our genes will just fall apart at the drop of the hat. Have you seen us on a beach? We get all burnt and shit.
Well, we've become too human.
I really just don't understand people who insist they understand anything about genetics while at the same time looking at somebody thinking skin color means genes are completely different.
Right.
Like, oh, well, your skin is different color than mine, so obviously you're from a completely different root race.
Stock.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yep. Not good. Very racist. Yeah. Glad that she watched Logan, though.
Yeah. It was a good movie.
So, turns out Mark had an option that he faced in his life, and that was the possibility to become more than human himself.
Ooh.
Mark Richards was offered a raptor enhancement, and it's a piece of raptor brain that would have been merged with his own, but he declined because he did not want to become part raptor.
Raptors have brains in their tails, right?
Even though he works very closely with the raptors, and they are working on the side of humanity at this time.
I don't like the at this
and
time
these
part.
These are, yes, the velociraptors that Steven Spielberg depicts in the Jurassic, you know, world and the Jurassic movies.
She says that like she's exacerbated by constantly getting the question. Yes, this is
course.
The same velociraptors.
Duh. I mean, and they don't have feathers, so don't even get me started on that.
That could settle a whole big thing. Ask Mark Richards about the feathers. I've never heard him chime in on that.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That would really settle that for once and for all.
It would solve it for me.
Feathers or no feathers.
Yeah.
Come
I
on,
need
Mark.
To know. I need to know.
So I guess, I mean, like, hey, I respect anyone's decision whether or not to become part raptor. But it seems weird.
Well, yeah, he would have been disqualified from the Olympics.
He had
an
affair with the raptor
Olympics.
Princess, yeah, though, and he won't even become part raptor. Boo, sir. So we get now to the question of the 2020 election here. And Mark and Kerry have some
great thoughts.
Interesting analysis. Mark thinks that Trump will win, which I think a lot of people are concerned about.
Right.
So regarding Trump and another term, he does believe that Trump will have another term. He says the people running the Democratic side, those running are hopeless, and that the Iowa caucus was proof that the whole thing will be controlled, that they are not going to allow any of those running to succeed. Of course, our elections have been controlled for time, you know, forever, especially since the Kennedy assassination. So from then on, you can be guaranteed that we have not had free elections.
Wilson? Not alien control.
No. Certainly not.
No. He was too racist even for them.
But he did bring in the Federal Reserve, which you would think Draco would be into, yeah. According to the transitive property that I've built between globalists. The globalists and the Draco. yeah, cool.
All right.
Astute.
I'm telling you, Mark is not bringing it today. This is a lazy take.
I will say,
Democratic Party sucks. Good call, Mark.
I will say that from my experience of watching it, I did also feel like there's a much less Mark in this than normal. There's a lot of Carrie's views.
He was bored, and he was
tired. Carrie might have needed to flesh it out a little.
Yeah.
So we get now to talking about Trump, and like, look, listen to this and tell me this isn't just exactly Alex.
However, what happened with Trump, and I've talked about this many times, has been a hacking back from the Hillary side that was
a hack attack
election to begin with of the election. So that's how Trump came in power, being backed by a certain portion of the military.
Oh, being backed by a certain portion of the military, hacking back. Would you say it's a counter hack?
Yeah, I would say it's a counter hack.
Oh,
then.
Yeah. Yep. This narrative runs through many different communities. They're all convinced of this idea that all elections are controlled, mm-hmm. but Trump isn't, because he's working with the good guys in the mysterious secret space program, deep state, whatever the fuck, in a counter coup against the coup that Hillary was
mm-hmm.
running.
Mm-hmm.
It's universal.
Yeah.
It's weird. So now we go back to Nixon.
That's something that I was expecting you to say.
Uh-huh. So Nixon, he had a very particular job in the Eisenhower administration.
Okay.
He handled the aliens.
Yes, he did. Of course he did.
And
why didn't I assume that? Why was that tape turned off, Dan?
We talked about the Cuban Missile Crisis again because I wanted to get some clarification on the information I had gotten in the past from Mark regarding that and Nixon's role, etc. And Nixon obviously never got over it. And people are recommended to see the book by Ashton Gray, Watergate, The Hoax.
I will not.
And Nixon had handled the ET situation for Eisenhower and was read in. Nixon was taken down through mind control and an operation orchestrated by these usual suspects, as I call them.
Jordan, what's the glaring problem in this timeline?
Oh, God.
The Cuban Missile Crisis happened in October 1962, at which point Nixon was not in office, nor was Eisenhower. That was JFK.
Yep.
He was busy. Nixon was he was running for governor of California at that point.
Yeah. Well, he was still working with Kennedy handling his aliens.
He was not.
No. I know they ran against each other. I understand that. I know JFK won, and Nixon was absolutely furious with that. But when you get a chance to handle the aliens for the president of the United States,
but he didn't.
You got to do it.
And he wasn't.
Right. So those are two big stumbling blocks.
So there. JFK was in office. Nixon wasn't.
Right.
And the Cuban Missile Crisis happened. And somehow Nixon couldn't get over that.
Right.
And then would become president years later.
Yes.
And then was impeached because of mind control.
Right.
This doesn't make sense.
I wrote down the question, is she a Nixon fan? And she answered it in that clip.
She's a Nixon apologist, at least.
They always support the bad guy. Do they just not know when a bad guy is a bad guy?
Well, this is actually like not super consistent. A lot of the folks who are in the Alex Jonesy side of the right wing, and Alex prior to the more recent history, were pretty not into Nixon. Nixon was not somebody who they considered someone in the Goldwater vein anti-communist conservative.
Well, and he helped open relations with China, which, as we know,
that's
now
a big
is a bad thing. Okay.
But Alex is a little bit more muddy on that now because of being friends with
Stone.
Roger Stone.
Yeah. It's tough
that
to hate
certainly
Nixon.
Makes it difficult when your best friend has a tattoo of Nixon on his back.
It is difficult. Yeah.
So Alex is complicated in that, but a lot of the folks, like if you go back to like the John Birch Society folks, a lot of them were very not into Nixon.
Sure.
So it's Carrie's angle on it is very strange. I'm not sure I've ever heard the he was brought down by mind control argument, which I appreciate on some level.
Novelty is good.
So you might ask, why could Nixon not get over the Cuban Missile Crisis, which he wasn't
involved in?
I mean, unless while he was running for governor of California, he was somehow involved in the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Well, of course.
Maybe. She answers that, and it turns out it's her explanation for literally fucking everything.
Basically, with regard to the Cuban Missile Crisis, which Nixon never got over, there were grays coming in interdimensionally that had to be stopped, according to Mark.
Of course.
And they unleashed some very horrible stuff. He said the grays were involved totally in that crisis, that it was not about what people thought it was about. In other words, Russian missiles, etc. That was a cover.
There's always a Stargate going on everywhere. There's aliens coming in, and you just see it like, oh, yeah, sure. You think that it's, you know, brinksmanship between world superpowers. Nope, absolutely not. It's aliens.
You know.
Always.
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 Mark does not like immigrants so much, he will rewrite history to always be about somebody coming into this country and or how we need to stop them. Yeah, exactly. He hates immigrants.
It's painfully consistent. Every time there is something, you know, like the first Iraq war, Saddam Hussein was trying to bring in aliens through a portal.
Of course he was.
Every single thing. Cuban Missile Crisis. Nah, it was aliens in a portal. Yeah. Vietnam War. Spider beings coming in through a portal. Every single fucking time it's aliens in a portal. And it turns out those fires in Brazil.
Aliens in a portal?
Well, I don't know about a portal, but it's definitely about aliens.
Okay.
He talked about the jungles in South America and Africa, saying that the grays considered jungles here on planet Earth as dangerous. And other
now that's now that's
well
what I was looking for
so
from
many
Mark
strange and different life forms, so that they consider the South America a more friendly environment, and the deforestation and the fires in the Amazon is to make it more conducive for grays to live there.
Mark just doesn't like bugs. He's projecting all of his hatreds onto the grays.
Why are grays afraid of jungles? They're fucking aliens.
Malaria.
They would be afraid of cities too then, because to them, everything is forest.
Well, it's an urban jungle.
This is so dumb.
If they prefer plains, Dan, temperate plains. They want to live in Iowa.
If gray aliens are afraid of jungles because of there being a bunch of things there,
right,
they would be afraid of everything.
Right.
They would be afraid of humans. They would be afraid of cows. this is exhausting.
No. It's like War of the Worlds. Look, the aliens weren't afraid of us, but they should have been afraid of the cold. See, it's just like the Greys.
I grow weary of this.
The Greys landed, and what we need to do to stop them is either, I guess, kill them all, or turn the entire Earth into a jungle.
Now, see, this is one of those interesting instances where the fantasy scenario actually kind of works towards the right goal.
Because we need to reforest.
Right.
Stop the grays.
Right. She should be opposed to the deforestation and the burning of the forest because she's afraid that grays are trying to hang out without the bugs.
Right.
But in reality, there is the business interests that are behind the deforestation. Yeah, yeah. And so we all should be opposed to the Amazon disappearing.
Including her.
Right. And if this is an instance of like, if that's how you get there, that's how you get there. We're in a crisis. I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah. We'll deal with that later.
We'll deal with it later. Yeah.
Yeah. But other instances, not so much. I cannot agree with the conclusions. But that's one I'll just go ahead and be like, all right, fair enough.
I do appreciate knowing that I am part of the human race, which is not responsible for anything ever in our entire
history.
It's
all aliens and portals,
man. It has always been aliens and portals.
Yep, and there, Carrie, I think on our last time we talked about her, she she revealed her lackluster superpower, which is her hands.
She can douse.
She can sort of tell you where portals might be.
She's a little bit of a dowser.
We get an expression of this superpower in this next clip.
All right.
So there is also information that I gave to Mark because I come to visit Mark, I stay in San Francisco and actually kind of playing the tourist for the day before. And in this case, we stayed on Fisherman's Wharf. Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco has become highly dangerous late at night.
No, it's very
right
nice.
Near the Presidio. And
great.
I was basically bringing that to Mark's attention because it is possible that there is a portal there that has been reopened.
Dun, dun.
Oh, no.
Fisherman's Wharf is basically the biggest tourist center in San Francisco. Everything there is just like super tourist centric. I've been there a bunch of times since my grandma lived in the Bay Area. And one thing I will say is that's kind of working in Carrie's favor here and there is that Fisherman's Wharf does house the original Ghirardelli chocolate plant.
Oh,
so if there's going to be raptors anywhere,
that is obviously where they're going to be.
You bet.
Dan, you have cracked the case.
Right. I've done it all at Fisherman's Wharf, man. I've been to the chocolate factory. I've gone to the cable car museum. I've gone to Pier 39, and I've never seen an alien. Last year did see a slight uptick in violent crime in the neighborhood, however, with a man being murdered there in March 2019, and there have been some robberies that have been reported. The murder does appear to have been a fight between people who at least were kind of acquainted with each other. It's very weird, the details you're able to find about that. And, you know, some robberies are going to take place in any area where there's a high concentration of people, so it's not... You know, it's obviously not good, but I don't think you should look at the robberies and be like, oh my God, everything's deteriorating, probably a portal.
Yeah.
Last month, a group of eight women attacked a 16-year-old Starbucks employee with a golf club and stole her watch and phone in a completely bizarre crime. Despite this, I can find no indication of Fisherman's Wharf being any more or less dangerous than any big city tourist area after dark. If I had to guess, I'm betting that Carrie saw a high proportion of Hispanic people walking around and because she knows they're closer to the root race and thus more likely to be alien hybrids. She got freaked out.
You nailed it.
That's kind of my suspicion.
That was she just like summed up white flight in 2 seconds.
Right.
She was like, well, it's
probably a portal.
It's dangerous after dark now, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So also we get from Mark an explanation of the assassination of Qassem Soleimani.
Oh, I was wondering why that happened.
Well, turns out.
Regarding the death of Soleimani, he said he was trying to access the gates between Iran and Iraq and give access to certain beings who wanted to come into this dimension. This is the real reason he had to die. He basically wanted to rule Iran and to let those beings in, just as Saddam Hussein, who was deposed prior to that for the same reason, that Saddam was letting in Anunnaki and certain beings that simply wasn't going to be allowed.
It's all portals, man.
Mark does not know who Soleimani was.
I'm guessing he was bluffing around
a little. Yeah, he has no idea.
I think that Mark is not very creative. On one level, I mean, some of the alien races and their particular picadillos, like the antiquing with raptors and the archaeology with cats.
Yeah.
Like, because I think some of that's pretty fucking hilarious because, like, obviously the cat one is because of litter boxes.
Yeah.
Like, digging around for artifacts.
Yeah.
I think there's some fun creativity there, but he's not very creative when it comes to geopolitical explanations for things.
Nah.
Everything is aliens coming through a portal. Qassem Soleimani is assassinated. It's like, wow, that's weird. Why would Trump do something like that? And it's like, well, of course, he was trying to create a portal to let aliens in the Iraq-Iran thing. And
it wasn't a petulant man baby lashing out.
And we all know that that's a reasonable, valid argument to make because that's what happened with Saddam Hussein, too. All of this is portal shit. It's just fucking boring.
Absolutely.
It's very exhausting.
Oh, man.
So now we get an update on another figure in the world of Project Camelot, and that is Sean David Morton, who is the scammer who defrauded a bunch of people, didn't pay his taxes, and went to prison.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's not having a good time in prison.
Sean David Morton, regarding his book Sands of Time series and the fact that Sean is being tortured in prison. He's in in Texas. Now he's been moved to a Texas prison, and he has been, as I say, tortured.
I don't believe this, but just to be fair, I'm going to say if he is being tortured, I'm wholeheartedly and unqualifiedly against that.
Yeah.
I don't believe this, though. But if it is, please file a report with like the human rights people.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Don't just try and do whatever you're doing on your YouTube
show. Get it out to...
It's a big problem.
Torture is not that big of a problem to these people.
I guess
it seems like it's just part of the game, you know.
It's very strange.
You're gonna be tortured.
I think that like it trivializes the idea of someone actually being tortured.
It absolutely does.
You should be contacting the UN or something.
Yeah.
Like if you actually have some evidence that your scam friend is being tortured in prison. But there's a reason, and Mark explains why Sean is getting this treatment.
And I talked to Mark about why Sean was being tortured, and he says they may eventually try to kill him. Obviously, they're trying to get at the witness, the testimony that was given to Sean by his lawyer through this other lawyer of an individual who ran Area 51 and S4.
And that's why I shouldn't pay taxes.
Became a time traveler after that. And I guess that individual is trying to disclose information through Sean's books, doing a very good job of it. And Mark agrees.
So you've got a situation where there's a guy who used to run Area 51 and then became a time traveler. Sure. And he's giving this information that Sean David Morton uses to write his Sands of Time book.
Right.
So Sean's been arrested for his rampant crimes.
Well,
and now he's being tortured in prison. And Mark believes that it's because they're trying to get at this whistleblower guy who's the source for the Sands of Time books. Right.
Did he become a time traveler after?
There's a problem.
Or before?
There's a problem with this theory, and that is that let me read to you from the introduction of the first Sands of Time book.
Sure.
Quote, many years ago, a powerful, mysterious man approached the author. He had lived virtually all his life as a top director and high-level scientist involved in the above-top-secret black world of shadow government projects and research.
Right.
He said he admired the service of the author in his undaunted quest to bring the truth to light and began a feed of crucial inside information to be released to the public.
He's a hero.
When certain circumstances presented themselves, he wanted to get the truth out to the world before it was too late, as our planet was, he said, in grave danger. But he could only tell the whole story after he had moved on, to use his exact words. The government doesn't need to torture Sean to get his whistleblower because Sean's own narrative, according to that
he's
dude's dead.
Yeah.
He could only get the information after the dude was dead because Sean only got this from his estate when it was being sorted out after he died.
Right.
Like, I understand that you could be like, after he moved on means he time traveled or something.
Sure.
But he died. According to Sean's narrative, dude's dead.
According to Sean himself,
yes,
the dude is dead.
The introduction of his book.
You can't change the story now.
Internal consistency is pretty important when you're just making up conspiracy bullshit.
You would think.
This fails that test.
You would think.
Yeah. So anyway, Mark believes something is going on here.
Mark said that he read, actually, Sands of Time, and that they contain some striking truths. And basically, they may be trying to persuade Sean to discredit himself before they will release him.
If that's the case, he should be out already, because mission accomplished.
Yeah,
that dude's discredited.
Yeah, if that's your goal, get on out of here.
He was discredited before he went into prison.
Get on out of here. Come on, buddy. You were discrediting you.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I have one last clip. Mic down for this, because it'll hit you with some whiplash.
Okay.
It starts with a sort of standard complaint of the paranormal conspiracy world, and then a nonsensical thing to end on.
The problem with humans is that they're not waking up fast enough, according to Mark. And he says that they are going to be dupes for what's coming down in the future if they don't wake up. And lastly, regarding Trump's family, Mark says he believes the women in Trump's family are not human. So, and that was basically, I think that's my last slide, yes. And so that is, that's it for the Mark Richards Total Recall.
Okay.
No further comment.
Nope.
I don't believe they're human, and that's all I'll say on the matter.
People aren't waking up fast enough. You're all going to be dupes in the future. Also, the women in Trump's family are aliens.
Not human. Not human.
Good night.
No judgment value. Nope. No, like, they're good aliens, bad aliens. They're Draco. They're not. They're just not human.
Well, we know that Carrie has previously said that she believes, or she's been told, or Mark maybe even said, that Melania is a conduit by which aliens communicate with Trump.
Right.
But Mark wouldn't tell her what species of alien is contacting her, which is not good.
Yeah.
Now we don't even get any implication of... Mark clearly didn't tell her what aliens Ivanka...
Apparently it's not important.
Ivanka and... Does this mean that Melania is an alien?
Yes.
And Trump... Wait, but Ivanka isn't Melania's daughter.
Nope. Trump has been fucking aliens since the beginning.
Does this mean Ivana is an alien,
this
too?
This means that every woman in Trump's family is an alien.
Is Tiffany an alien?
Maybe. Why isn't Trump an alien, then? Or is Trump's mom an alien?
I don't know.
Oh, man. We got to find this out.
Oh, this is...
this is big news.
This is a case
this
that
is...
I am not going to crack.
No, you got to get to the bottom of this one, Dan.
All right, fuck it. Monday, I'm not going back to Alex. I'm going to get to the bottom of this Trump family women are aliens.
I'm looking forward to the dollop episode on Ivanka. That'll be serious
this
stuff.
This must mean Baron's got to be an alien too then, right? Because Baron is Melania's
kid. Well, Baron's half alien.
But I thought it was just the women aren't human. I don't know.
That's a good question.
I realize I don't care.
yeah, you know you would think that.
Right. So we come to the end of this, and I think there's some fun stupidity and fun nonsense here. And I've enjoyed taking this little dalliance before we get down to, on our next episode, just getting right back down to business for Monday on the Alex Jones present day stuff. I think even though we try and take these breaks and we try and look at these completely non-real world things, and you just see these shocking overlaps, these parallels between the what underpins her world and what underpins Alex. And it's if you don't see the similarities between the two and the ways in which they sort of guide you towards similar bad conclusions, then I don't know what to tell you.
I think she thinks it's a good thing, but this entire episode seems like she is completely dehumanizing everything. Mm. Like just
people who are dealing with the coronavirus,
not real. They
people
can
in
kill
South
themselves.
America.
Eisenhower sold them all out.
People in the Amazon are being affected by the fires and deforestation.
X-Men. Yeah. None of that matters. No people matter. None of these. Nobody is a player in the game. The Chinese aren't players in the game. It's all the Draco and their fucking reptilian buddies. Like, nobody is a person.
I think even, like, the larger thing that is that, the way that these things work is that there are stories that are being told in order for you to not have to feel for the people who are affected in these circumstances.
Absolutely.
There is a narrative that's being spun that's almost like an emotional weighted blanket that'll comfort you instead of having to look at the fact that, no, there are a lot of things that are going on that we should be doing more about. And for some reason, we're either derelict in our duties or we're just not able to deal with some things that are hurting people.
It's really hard to know that the government is purposefully trying to deny water to immigrants coming into the United States undocumented. And in order to kill them as a deterrent for more people coming in there.
Right.
That's so fucked up beyond
reason. That's very tough. But
what if they were X-Men?
Exactly.
That's still fucked up.
Well, you and I, in a situation where X-Men are real, probably would feel that way, that it's fucked up.
Yeah.
But it helps Carrie not to feel those very conflicted and hard emotions. Yeah. And I guess if you need that crutch, it's fine. But
no, it's not. It's not.
Certainly not.
No, that's fucked up.
Right. And Rendlesham didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
It was a lighthouse.
And Mark Richards has some very middle-of-the-road political takes.
Yes.
He's really got nothing. He doesn't have any heat there, man. He's a boring hack now.
I just think he had an off day.
Yeah,
it happens.
That could be.
12th interview slump.
That could be.
Anyway, we'll be back on Monday with a normal episode. Indeed. But thank you for joining us for this abnormal one. Until we're back, we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Right. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight and @GoToBetJordan.
Uh-huh. We're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. And if you'd like to download the show, please go to iTunes, download it, leave a review, rate it, share it, donate, do the whole thing. It'd be great.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm the ghost of Rendlesham.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.